This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
Habari Ghani, what's the news on this fourth day of Kwanzaa? We are always appreciative every year. We've been doing this for years now, spending every day with none other than the founder of Kwanzaa. And y'all know I think I'm special because Kwanzaa and I were born just a few days apart. So Kwanzaa's in me and I'm in Kwanzaa. So I'm going to always celebrate Kwanzaa, something I'm very proud of. Today, the principle for today is Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Now, today we light the red candle, second from the left, from the Umoja candle, the black candle in the middle. And so we have with us once again our illustrious founder. He is professor and chair of the Department of Africana Studies at California State University, Long Beach, chair of the organization US and the National Association of Kawaita Organizations, executive director of the African American Cultural Center and the Kawaita Institute of Pan-African Studies, co-chair of the Black Community Clergy and Labor Alliance, also the author of numerous scholarly articles and books, including Kawaita and Questions of Life and Struggle, Ma'at, the Moral Ideal in Ancient Egypt, a study in classical African ethics, Selections from the Husia, Sacred Wisdom of Ancient Egypt, Introduction to Black Studies, now in its fourth edition, and Oduifa, the Ethical Teachings. He's the creator, and which is why we know and love him most, and why he's here with us this week, particularly creator of the Pan-African cultural holiday, Kwanzaa, and the Nguza Saba, which means the seven principles, and also the author of the authoritative text entitled Kwanzaa, A Celebration of Family, Community, and Culture. He's a subject of the book by Dr. Malefi Asante entitled Maulana Karenga, An Intellectual Portrait. And he is currently writing a major work entitled The Liberation Ethics of Haji Malcolm X, Critical Consciousness, Moral Grounding, and Transformative Struggle. We welcome once again to Make It Plain the founder of Kwanzaa, Dr. Maulana Karenga. Dr. Karenga, Habari Ghani, what's the news?
Ujamaa, Habari Ghani, Hofni Kweno, Matsumelis. Good to be with you again and celebrating this beautiful Pan-African holiday celebrated by millions of African people throughout the world, African community on every continent in the world. And the day is the fourth principle, Ujamaa, which is cooperative economic. And the text tells us and urges us to, quote, to build and maintain our stores, our shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. This principle teaches us an ethics of shared work and shared wealth. It's modeled on the harvest, right? The harvest is shared work, and the harvest is shared wealth. And we celebrate the sharing of work and the sharing of wealth. And it calls on us to engage in economic practices that are, number one, constantly concerned with satisfying the needs of the people without exploiting them, without injuring others, or without injuring the world. And it calls on us to uphold the right of all people to the shared good and wealth of the world. Now, this is important to us. Again, we go back to being good relatives. Ujamaa comes from the philosophy of Ujamaa created by Mwalimu Julius Nyerere, Nana Mwalimu Julius Nyerere. And I say Nana, I think I might have mentioned, but I'm going to say it again. Nana is a title we give to ancestors, even though you can use it for current-day people, and current-day people use it. It just means honored one, people worthy of the highest honor. But we use that mainly for the ancestors, but recognize you can use it for either the living or the people who made transition and ascension. So what we have here is that Nana Mwalimu Nyerere chose this word for African socialism, for cooperative economics. And he said he wanted to reflect how Africans before colonialism did economics. And they did them on the basis of kinship. Ujamaa means family. Ujamaa means familyhood. And so Ujamaa is doing ethics as if we were all relatives, all one family. Not only our family here, but when we go beyond, the human family, right? The family of peoples, right? And this is, again, I want us to think of ourselves beyond the oppressor's conceptual imprisonment category. You know, we can be conceptually imprisoned by a category. Like we say, the ghetto. We say, there's no interest of us but us, right? And right in that spot. Not the Black community, which is a larger concept, but mainly ghetto. And so a lot of times that keeps us from thinking about our relatives, not only in this country, but around the world, beyond any short space we might be in. And that's why sometimes people say, oh, the ICE issue is not ours. It is. Not only because we, right, put emphasis on the dignity and security of all peoples, right? We fought for that. We can't stand to the side if other people's dignity and security are being violated, their rights to be free, their right to a life is violated. So we stand just like that. But we also stand because there are Africans being rounded up, being mistreated, being tortured, being taken in countries that are not there, right? Not only continental Africans, but Haitians. There's no people, no migrants treated worse than Haitians. And so we have to be concerned with that. Again, relative. And the same thing with other Caribbeans, but also continental Africans, as we've said. So we have a world community, and we have to think like that. We have to think about the world and all in it. And we must not injure each other, but we must not injure the world. The world is being constantly injured by predatory practices, by plunder, pollution, and depletion. Those are the three major enemies of the earth. Plunder. You know, capitalist plunder, imperialist plunder, and also consumer asking for more and taking more without understanding what it's doing and throwing away things and demanding more things. So we're actually depleting the world, but we're polluting it at the same time. And so we have to stop injuring our other relatives, stop injuring other human beings and other. Reverend Matsumela said the other day about the people taking things from the Congo and not it's not benefiting the people, right? They don't really sign agreement. They're coerced into concessions, right? It's not an agreement. How do you have an agreement between people with more power and people with less? How do you do that with a gun to your head? How do you do that, right? So I think it's very important for us to make sure that we don't endorse the exploitation of other people. And so we have to uphold the right of all people to the good and the wealth of the world. This principle teaches an ethics of shared work and wealth, I said, and the goodness and rightness of cooperative creation and sharing of the good of the world. It calls us to give rightful respect and just treatment to workers and due consideration and care for the poor and the vulnerable, always the poor and the vulnerable. It also calls us are to care for the environment and to resist corporate and other plundering, pollution, and depletion on the earth. So at the heart of our ethics, our economic ethic, is consideration for the most poor and vulnerable among us. I mean, that's Christian text. That's the text of the major religions I know, and I know a lot of them, all understand that we measure our morality by how we treat the most vulnerable among us. And therefore, our texts say, give food to the hungry, water to the thirsty, clothes to the naked, and a boat to those without one. Be a shelter for the battered, a mother for the timid, a father for the orphan, a raft for the drowning, and a ladder for those trapped in the pit of despair. Always do the good for them. And to care for the environment, I told you, be a good relative for the environment and don't destroy the very basis of human and other life. And you have to resist corporate and other plundering, pollution, and depletion of the world. And so let us also uphold the rights of workers and the rights of treatment. There's going to be more and more struggles around workers' rights. We must find ourselves in the ranks of those who fight for workers having a decent and living wage, for having a right to organize themselves, and for them to have benefits and safety on the job and other considerations for producing the wealth of the world. And I want to close by saying, you know, when we light this candle for Ujamaa, cooperative economics, let us wish and commit ourselves to work and struggle for strengthening the principle and practice of shared work and shared wealth in our community, in society, and in the world. And let us also wish, work for, and struggle for economic practices that reflect due respect for the dignity of work, the rights of workers, and link that to a life, link that to a right to a life of dignity and decency. We need a decent life, a life not only food, clothing, shelter, but also education and even recreation, time to recreate ourselves. And we must demonstrate always appropriate care for the poor, responsibility for the ill, the aged, the disabled, and for having always a right relationship with the environment, never sacrificing the earth for smaller things that we need and end up undermining the very basis of our lives.
And let me just mention, too, a couple of things. As you heard Dr. Karenga folks talk about our responsibility when it comes to our sisters and brothers who are impacted by ICE and whatnot. And he also mentioned the imprisonment of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what has happened is that many of our sisters and brothers, even those who are Spanish speaking, over the years, there's been an agenda to even separate them from the diaspora. Many of us came through those places first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as Dr. Karenga knows, my son played baseball, and I used to teach the kids, especially some of the Spanish-speaking young sisters and brothers who grew up with him in the Bronx, that the great Roberto Clemente called himself a black man.
Yes.
And he, many people don't know, before his death, before Dr. King's death, he invited Dr. King to his farm in Puerto Rico. Dr. King went, not a Martin Luther King, went to Puerto Rico to visit Roberto Clemente on his farm.
Hmm.
And so this notion that many of our sisters and brothers who are Spanish speaking are not of us, and some of them believe they too are not of us, when many of us look the same.
Mm-hmm.
However far we go with that, the bottom line is we are still sisters and brothers together in that respect. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I want to lift up those of you who did not wait until this holiday to practice Ujamaa,
mm-hmm.
who participated in our WeAin'tBuyingIt.com campaign.
Yes.
And that's a part of Ujamaa. We found ways to spend money with ourselves on Black Friday and Cyber Monday this year. It was organic and it was organized. Black Voters Matter, Until Freedom, and other organizations worked very hard to pull that together. And so imagine if we did that all the time. We keep funding corporations that neglect us and that enable ICE to go and raid Home Depot. That was a target. Amazon was a target. Target was a target. Target, the Target Corporation. And so we practiced some Ujamaa just this holiday season, especially under these trying and dimly lit circumstances that we've been saying throughout this Kwanzaa. So I just wanted to lift that up in those organizations who pushed that spirit of Ujamaa during this holiday season. And we are so, so thankful for that. And thankful for all of you for awakening to it. Sure. And this feels like a little different. This first holiday I can remember in years where people have a different perspective on gift giving and gift buying. Kwanzaa is a gift. Give the gift of practicing the love in these principles. Some of us just need that.
Hey.
So rather than going out spending a whole bunch of money on stuff that doesn't even have the same value, not to mention, it's a whole nother thing, the same quality. When we were coming up, things, gifts we gave and our parents gave us had a little bit of quality to it. And things are now more expensive and have even less quality and less meaning. So this is a very special Ujamaa, as I have observed, to me, and a very different holiday season throughout when it comes to the decisions I hear people without even being prompted. Brother Matsumela, I'm not buying everybody gifts this year. I want to do something different.
Yeah.
People volunteering that type of passion and idea and principle. And so we're thankful for that. And it shows who we really are and who we can really be when we accept who we are and embrace our culture. And that is what Kwanzaa is all about. And so having said that,
Yeah. So I just wanted to build on and say, totally so. And one of the things I want us to notice, and this is what we're doing collecting, we every year we get emails, cards, posters, questions from people in Latin America that celebrate Kwanzaa. And one of the beauties of Kwanzaa, it unites us, as I said, and I forgot saying across countries, I mean, you know, every continent. Like, we got a card from people in Ecuador that celebrate. The largest one we know is in Brazil, but also in Colombia, in Mexico, right? In Nicaragua. This all over Costa Rica. People celebrate Kwanzaa, and in Puerto Rico, by the way. So I think it's very important for us to see this Pan-African import of Kwanzaa for that. The second thing I wanted to say, this buying black. It started, you know, we did this in the early days when we first were freed from the Holocaust of enslavement. We built mutual aid societies during the civil rights phase of the Black Freedom Movement. The Black Freedom Movement had two phases. The first civil rights from 1955 to 1965, and then the Black Power, 1965 to 1975. And in both phases of that Black Freedom Movement, we stress buying black, we should call it, right? And using our dollar as a weapon in the struggle to expand the realm of freedom and justice in this country, right? Our buying power, right? Our ownership to use that. And so another last thing is about Kwanzaa itself. Kwanzaa has specific rules about gifts, and sometimes people don't discuss them, but I want to just bring them up. You're supposed to, you can buy a gift, but the gifts are for children. Otherwise, we duplicate the commercialism, right, that goes on doing this side, where people fighting in line and stuff. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to have an alternative to that. Not to Christmas, but alternative to the vulgar consumerism that's in there. Now, listen, so you're supposed to, number one, give it for children. Second, never do it expensive. Never use it. Never use it as a substitute for your own love and for your own presence in your children's lives, right? Because sometimes people do that. They try to buy their love instead of working and You know, teaching them the values and grounding them so they can be reciprocal in their love and just not always ask for something. And then, of course, here, whatever you buy, you have to have a book and a heritage symbol. A book to show our stress on education. We're the people who wrote the first books and said, better is a book than a well-built house. Better is a book than a memorial plaque in a temple. And finally, you give, so it's our dedication to learning. And you can imagine how we learned and studied. They outlawed us, Reverend Matsumele, you know, they outlawed our reading and writing. And yet, in 100 years out of the Holocaust of enslavement, we created a world-class literature second to none. So that shows our commitment, not from the beginning only, we did that, but also in this time, in our time. And then finally, we do the heritage symbol. Why? To remember we must be based in our own culture and on our history. That's our foundation. No matter how high a house is built, the African proverbial wisdom said, it must stand on something. And that something is our history and our culture.
Ashe and amen. Folks, again, amen. This is Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. We light the red candle second on the left from the black. We start in the middle in Umoja. This will be second, the second one from the black in the middle. Cooperative Economics. And to find out more, again, we invite you to go to officialkwanzawebsite.org. Every day this week of Kwanzaa, Dr. Maulana Karenga, our esteemed guest. And as we talk about, he mentions books and knowledge. Please consider his own research and bibliography to share, because Dr. Karenga, like no other, has opened the door to many of the ethical teachings and principles of African antiquity. And we do well to learn about those. And it's always interesting to me as we study ethics and philosophy and theology in the European context, we look at things, well, this looks familiar. We've seen this somewhere before, and how many things actually are rooted in our African antiquity. And he presents that for us. Just while we're on that subject, and I know I've read his biography, I just want to mention some things now for you all to think about in your book gifting, so to speak. Kawaida and Questions of Life and Struggle, Ma'at, the Moral Ideal in Ancient Egypt. The next one, Selections from the Husia, Sacred Wisdom of Ancient Egypt. The next one, Introduction to Black Studies, now in its fourth edition. And finally, Odu'ifa, the Ethical Teachings. Now, Dr. Karenga, I've said mentioned several times the major work you are working on regarding Haji Malcolm X. How soon can we? I know how it is when you're writing a book.
I said when I was stepping this, I'm stepping away from the university. I'm hoping that I can finish it by the year's end. I made a commitment that I would finish it by the year's end as a kind of present, as a Wadi, a Kwanzaa present for my the advocates in my organization, but also for all the people who've been waiting for it, asking for it for decades. You know, I've been writing on this for a couple of decades. You know that.
Yes.
I need to really go in and bring closure to it. It's over 700 pages. And
yes, sir.
What I want to do is to present Haji Malcolm, for the first time as a deep thinker in ethical sense, teaching ethical philosophy in the same way people usually understand Anana Dr. King. But usually we think Anana Malcolm as simply a speaker, you know, who talked bad to the white man. But he was a deep thinker, right? I mean, just like when I was telling you about how he was talking about linking knowledge and life and love, right, and struggle, and how he does that, and how he looks into the whole idea of what it means to wake up, clean up, and stand up. He said, that's my program. And so I changed wake up. I translated wake up, not change it. Translate wake up as getting critical consciousness, right? And second, I translate clean up as moral grounding, speaking truth, doing justice, being away from self-injury and injury of others, and learning to appreciate oneself as a bearer of dignity and divinity. And then the final thing is stand out, right? And that is engage in righteous and relentless transformative struggle, transforming ourselves and the world at the same time. That's the beautiful. That's what I call in Cowhedon reparations. That is an ongoing struggle to repair, renew, and remake the world. Repair, renew, and remake ourselves in the process and practice of repairing, renewing, and remaking the whole world. We make ourselves in the process of remaking the world. That's what we have to do.
Now, to be clear, when you say years in, you mean of 25 or 26?
No, 25.
Okay.
I'm on the last chapter, chapter 10.
All right now. Okay, so we're not playing. All right, we look forward to it.
We're not playing. We got hope and faith. And like Reverend Jesse Jackson said, keep hope alive,
Keep hope alive. Ashe. Folks, that is Kuumba for this Kwanzaa. Ujamaa for this Kwanzaa 2025. Tomorrow's Nia, Dr. Karinga will be back with us. We thank all of you for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. Habari Ghani, Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. Happy Kwanzaa, everyone. It has been Made Plain.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.